KMCHD3 Detroit, KMPS HD3 Seattle, WBMX HD3 Boston,
and on AOL Radio
and Yahoo Launchcast.
CBS Radio's The New Sky.
Enlightened philosophers tell us that we are divine beings in human form. Let's get real here. How can we live a busy life with a job, kids, and a mortgage and still be spiritual? Join CJ Liu as she tackles real life issues through a spiritual lens and talks with experts in relationships, work, and more. You'll get practical life skills and learn how to touch, feel, and experience a whole new way of living. Be a force for good. And fire it up with CJ. Log on, fireitupwithcj.com, and call CJ now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
Live from the headquarters of CBS Radio, we're here with Fire It Up with CJ. Now on fireitupwithcj.com. This month, we continue to look at the environment and how you can make a difference. Be sure to catch CJ on her website. It's fireitupwithcj.com. And also her Facebook is the same, Fired Up with CJ. So, you know, take some time, check it out. She's got a lot of great articles and interesting topics on there. You can also get in touch with her there. How are you today, CJ?
You know what? I am enjoying the weather and having otherwise a suckish time.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. We're most of the state, at least you have good weather.
I know, that's true. So you know, what's it like over in Michigan?
Well, today it's rainy, kind of cold. It was 70 yesterday, so we get a little tease, and then it gets
nice.
Cold. But, you know, hey, we need the rain. You can't deny it.
Well, that's great. Well, today we actually have a really great show. Hopefully our guests will show up. It's Ellis Jones, who is the author of The Better World Shopping Guide. And so I'll tell you a little bit about the book as we try to get Ellis on the phone to talk to him and chat with him. Welcome, everybody. So I'll tell you a little bit as we try to get him online how I got in touch with Ellis is that I was looking at Amazon and I was looking at and I knew we were going to be focusing this month on the environment. And so I was looking at the best-selling books and the Better World Shopping Guide appeared. And I think we have Ellis on the line. Hi, Professor Ellis Jones.
Hi, CJ. There. How are you?
Good. How are you? So I was just talking about how I found your book and why we have you on. And I was saying one of the things that one of the points that Professor Jones makes that I really enjoyed is that, you know, every year the average family spends about $22,000. And then those sales are used to generate, you know, those sales are then used for those companies to invest in who knows what, but generally they fuel whatever that company's values, principles, and practices are. Now, we don't think as consumers like, well, I'm actually making an investment, so in a lot of ways the dollar that I'm spending is really an endorsement of that company, or at least by minimally the product that they produce. And I've never, you know, I think about it, and I think more and more we're more conscious that the money that we invest actually goes into corporations who then spend it on who knows what, lobbyists, or they don't spend it on stuff like environmental changes that they need to make. So what I like about Professor Ellis Jones' book, the book is called The Better World Shopping Guide, is it helps us as consumers be more cognizant of the products that we're buying and then what the impact those purchases make on the world generally. So, and making sure that we feel good about our purchases and that they match our own values. So welcome, Ellis.
No, thank you.
Yeah, so I don't know. Did I do a good job describing your book?
Yes, I think so. You know, I'm a sociologist, but I used to, as an undergraduate, study political science. And I think I never quite moved out of the realm of politics because when I think about how consumers spend their dollars, I'm always struck by the parallels with how we vote in our own democracy. And so I really think that we need to begin to understand how these votes that we engage in on a daily basis are really like investments, love how you put it, investments. They are investments in the company. They give the company the power they need to purchase from other companies the products and services to make their own. And if those are kind of good, responsible, conscious companies, those dollars are then kind of collected together and become a really powerful force for change in a positive sense in the world. But alternately, if those are just kind of being handed out by us kind of willy-nilly, then companies that are linked with other companies that are polluting or maybe abusing human rights or, you know, testing on animals or ruining communities, that those dollars are going in that direction, all without us knowing it. So I think it's really time for us to begin to take this on as an understanding of how our dollars actually shape the world.
Yeah, and I like your analogy. I like your analogy of the vote because, you know, here April 15th just passed. We just gave a gigantic check to the IRS and you know, we actually don't have a lot of say. We vote for, you know, the various candidates and we hope that our candidate wins. But then what they do with the money that we give for taxes, it doesn't seem like we have a lot of choice aside from electing particular officials. I mean, that's so indirect. But I think actually when you buy something, in some ways it's a lot more direct. You know what you're investing in. If you have a book like your own, you have that sense of what you're going and investing in. I think in some ways in a more direct way. I don't know. Do you agree?
Well, that's right. I mean, again, we vote once every 4 years, once every 2 years if we're really good about it. There are layers upon layers between us and the actual kind of results of our voting. But with this type of economic voting, we're voting many times a day. So every day we're engaging in this activity, and those votes are accumulated very directly, and we can understand them because we understand, like, how money accumulates so quickly when you collect it from a large swath of the consumer population. And yet we don't really think about it. We're concerned or focused on, you know, what we need to eat or drink or something to wear or someplace to go. And yet, if we start to think about this as a series of both kind of personal investments in our own needs and desires and in a social investment, a kind of collective social and environmental investment, you know, we start to realize that this is how we shape the world. It's something like two-thirds of our own economy is completely run by consumer dollars in the marketplace. This is all of the Coca-Colas and the T-shirts and the, you know, bicycle helmets and the, you know, gasoline. All of that adds up to two-thirds of the most powerful economic engine on the planet. And so understanding that that kind of engine shapes the way the world runs is a really, I think, key concept for us in the 21st century and for us to begin to take that on as a way for us to bring about the social change that I think we so desperately want in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And it is more direct. It is more engaging in some ways than our kind of once every 4 years. And yet, in some ways, they're the same.
Yeah, because, I mean, every day you make purchases. You go get coffee. Well, in Seattle, you get coffee every day. You get coffee. You go fill up your gas. You go to the grocery store. It's probably during a week. At least you're going to a store or a venue like that once a week, minimally. And those are votes that you have. Now, going back to your comment about two-thirds of the economy, I don't understand what that means. So if you look at GNP, two-thirds of – what does that mean? I don't understand your point.
So when economists look at, you know, I always used to be confused when I would listen to, say, NPR on the radio, and there was, they kept talking about consumer confidence. And I kept thinking, well, why do they keep telling me about why consumers are confident? Why should I care whether or not consumers are confident? It doesn't make any sense. And yet it's one of our most important economic indicators because what consumers spend and how they spend generates that part of our kind of, our GNP or our GDP, if we're talking about, you know, how quickly the engine is running and how quickly it is producing and consuming it, it really relies heavily, at least our modern United States and in many ways global economy, but we'll stick to the United States for now, relies directly on consumer spending. I don't know if anyone else noticed, but like after 9/11, very quickly, the president came out and was giving us tax cuts and telling people to kind of get out and spend over the holidays because it was such an important economic season. It seemed like an odd comment to make as president, you know, so quickly after 9/11. But in some ways it was that the consumers had lost confidence because of the attacks and that he was in some ways encouraging us to get back out there because otherwise, you know, the economy would keep slowing down and we'd start to feel the effects on an even deeper level. So this economic component, I don't think, is something that we've yet wrapped our heads around as individuals, and yet it's crucial on the collective level if we're talking about how the world works.
Right. So here's what I'm remembering my macroeconomics. So GMP equals consumption, which is what we do as consumers, investments minus savings or something plus government spending. So that's what you're saying. So two-thirds of our GMP is as a result of consumer spending. So
Right. It's
we're doing a lot to fuel the economy. And the question is, not only are we doing a lot to fuel the economy, but those investments then have some type of outcome that are either profitable or not profitable societally, right? So that's I think the point you're making. So going back to, do I really make a difference? You know, there's part of me, sometimes I think, really, I'm going to switch my toothpaste because I'm going to go to, I was looking at this list and thinking, all right, really, am I going to switch my toothpaste from P&G, which is a large company, to, I can't remember what it had on this list, but something smaller like Burt's or whatever, the icky toothpaste that I don't like.
Right.
Which seems so stupid. But you know what? It's a big deal for me. I'm like, okay, I'm going to try to do this. But is it really going to make a difference? I mean, how much does one person's individual effort make? And how much does that impact in the greater look at things?
Well, you know, again, I think I would go back to kind of my training in political science. We're in exactly the same dilemma when we are trying to figure out whether or not our vote will matter once every two or 4 years, right? Technically, if you get sick and you don't show up at the poll, you're probably not going to swing the election one way or another, right?
Right.
It's just one vote. And yet, without us believing that our votes make a difference, the democracy itself fails. It is the only kind of essential component for democracy is participation. And every time we lose a vote, every time our voting percentage goes down from, say, 60% turnout to 50% to 40%, we end up representing less and less of our population, and we end up with a kind of worse and worse representative government. So we understand it at that level. And yet, the same thing is true at the consumer level. So
yeah,
on the
absolutely.
One hand, it doesn't really matter what toothpaste or soda pop or gasoline you buy at any moment in any given day. But what matters is that you and tens of thousands, millions of other people start switching over from these products one by one to sway huge elections in the economic sphere. And so companies are, making money or losing money based on this collective impact of these economic votes. So it's that contradiction we need to wrap our heads around. Yes, one vote doesn't technically matter, and yet it's the only thing that matters.
Yeah, I think in some ways you have to, in your mind, say, okay, I'm in a democracy. I want to participate, and I want my voice to be heard. Or you say, I'm opting all control, and I don't care. I'll just let whoever is running, what corporation is running, and then I'll be quiet because I'll be – you know, it's like you can either decide to participate or not. And if you decide to participate, then these kind of things matter because in some ways you have to make a fundamental, I think, decision as an individual on whether you're going to participate in the society you live in or whether you'll just, like, lie there and let everything roll over you. That's my take on what you just said.
Well, and on another level, we're already always participating all the time. But the difference is we're not looking at the ballot. Every time the ballot shows up on our porch every morning, right, we're just checking things off more or less at random and sending it in.
Yeah.
And expecting some kind of different outcome. The difference is now, you know, we take a look at the ballot and we say, wait a second, I don't like the ethics of this particular company, or I would prefer to support this particular investment or this other, you know, behavior, and actually checking the boxes after we look at them and understand something about the various candidates that we're electing on a daily basis. So the funny thing is that we can't opt out. The only way to opt out of the economic system is to basically, you know, go live in a cave somewhere. And so we are voting. The question is, are we looking at our own ballot?
Mm-hmm. Good point. So quick question before we break. We have a minute before our next break. But tell me something good. Tell me something good. Is there some promising thing? I mean, you entered into writing this book because you were trying to figure out if individuals can actively contribute to the resolution of global social and environmental issues. What makes you happy? What makes you sad in a minute or less?
Well, I can tell you that every corporation on this planet is paying attention. That makes me happy. Okay. Every 20 years ago, only a handful of companies generated corporate social responsibility reports for themselves. Now every company that you can name in your head creates a report annually, and they do it because consumers have demanded it, because they recognize that consumers are out there spending their money in those directions. So while they may not always be sincere, they are all paying attention, and that makes me happy.
Okay, that's a smiley face for me. What's your frowny face?
So the frowny face is, if you read those corporate social responsibility reports, they're just a kind of litany of why I am the greatest, most responsible company on the earth. So they're completely untrustworthy.
Okay.
So you should never read them because all of the data that you need to collect is data by created by third-party organizations that track these issues, not by the companies themselves.
Interesting. Okay, fascinating. All right, we're going to be talking more about doing some introspection on, are you a good citizen? Are you a good consumer? How are they related? I think we've talked a lot about that more, but we're going to dive a little bit more deeply into that. Folks, make sure to subscribe to us by going to www.firedupwithcj, and you'll get a list of upcoming schedules, articles, and be eligible to win freebies. All right, we'll be right back.